Welcome to Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, founder of SCR Insights, one of the leading data platforms in the industry. Through using data and analytics, I've been able to replace my W-2 with cash flow from my successful short-term rentals. And my goal is to help you achieve the same freedom and success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just a novice looking to make your mark, Cashflow Positive is your go-to resource for unlocking the full potential of your property portfolio.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, and we're going to be talking about this is how you, the person listening to this, scales. Okay, not how Kenny Bedwell scales or other people, but yourself. That's what I want to help you with. I want to help you start getting that vision because a lot of people lack vision and design, like me. I'm terrible at trying to figure out the design of a property. I'm actually going through relaunching my lake property in Watkins Glen. And because we did this big renovation and I was like, holy crap, like it looks completely different now. And we had to do different design. And I didn't hire a designer. And that was kind of not out of like, I wasn't thinking about it at the time, but we showed up at the property after it paint, flooring, new kitchen, new bathrooms, everything. And I show up at the property. I'm like, this place looks nothing like it did before. And the current design and decor is awful. And we have to redo this. Okay, but I don't have time to engage with the designer. I have to figure this out in 2 weeks. So basically, I'm asking my wife questions and we're having arguments and trying to figure out. I'm going on Pinterest and it's a pain, but I lack vision. And so I had to go and like look at other people's properties and take ideas and talk to different people. Some of you listening, I probably reached out to you and were like, hey, I looked at your property and I noticed these things. How did you do that? So anyway, vision. And the best way to get vision is seeing examples and having somebody walk you through it. And that's basically what I want to help you guys do with scaling, because all of us are on a different path and a different journey. And some of us are a little bit further along in terms of where we want to be, or you might be like, he's further along than where I am now. And that's kind of what I want to do is share my story of scaling, but also tell you like, look, just because I did it this certain way doesn't mean that you are going to do it that way, and give you the different ways you can scale and how you should scale. So let's dive straight into this is how you scale. Okay, so number one, when I got started, I was literally about 2 years into my corporate job at Citibank. And this was a first property that I took a leap on. I didn't really have a lot of money. Okay. So that's kind of where I started. Like I didn't buy like this like amazing, huge 5-bedroom house. I didn't have a lot of capital to go and do. And so when I got started, I literally bought a long-term rental and turned it into a short-term rental because it happened to be in a good location. And when I'm looking at people today, I don't actually think you can replicate that same exact thing today. You can't take a long-term rental and turn it into a short-term rental and hope that it works out today. The market has shifted, okay? But you can take something small. That was the price of a long-term rental, okay, at the time. So I bought this long-term rental. Now, I want to stay away from telling you purchase prices because in a lot of places, it's just not realistic to today's standards. You know, I bought my first long-term rental for $142,000. Okay. That's not what I put down on it. That's what the purchase price was. So that's insane. I mean, I don't know where you can find a lot of good properties like that today that makes sense for short-term rentals. Okay. So once again, the journeys are going to be slightly different. But my point though is we all have to start somewhere and it's okay to start small. And you don't need to think like, well, I need to start out at a property that's going to cash flow $50,000 if you don't have a lot of capital. You have to start somewhere. In the short-term rental space, I do encourage people to start with a minimum of $50,000 because you have to be willing to invest in the property. And then you need a little bit of savings, a cushion in case something happens and there's holding costs and other things that occur. If you don't have that yet, you need to save up until you do. But if you do, that's a great, that's a fine starting point. Is it easy? No, it's challenging, but finding something small and simple that's going to get you going and build momentum is the key. And that's really how you start. So most of you listening, though, probably have a little bit more than $50,000, okay? But it's the same concept, though, that I want you to understand is buying something small and getting started is more important than just waiting to get started, sitting on your hands and trying to save until you have 100, 150, 200, 250, whatever that next capital is, I wish I had X amount more so I could buy something bigger and do whatever. The reality is, especially on your first one, the most important thing you can do is actually take the leap and get into the game. Okay. Now, obviously, we all have the fear of making the mistake. We don't want to make a mistake and mess up. Okay. That's not why we're doing this. But the experience that we gain from getting into the game is more valuable than the fear, the risk, I should say, of making a mistake. And if you're listening to this podcast and you're watching my videos on YouTube at STR Insights, and you follow me on Instagram at Kenny_Bedwell, and you listen to stuff I say, that's pretty much what I'm telling you guys here. Okay. You're probably not going to mess up. All right. Or it won't be as bad as what you think, because the stuff I'm telling you is the stuff that works. And if you follow it, it's going to work for you too. It's not like anything's really different unless you just chose the wrong property, but then you didn't do what I told you to do. So I let me tell you everything on this stuff. I don't hide or keep anything back. I keep a couple markets back for myself. That's about the only thing I don't share on this. But you guys will be the first one to find out when I do reveal information or markets or things that I've kept. But I don't hold back the information. I tell you everything you need to know to be successful on here. And if you follow it, you will be. Okay, so it's really just a confidence thing and taking that leap of faith and getting started. And so you have to start somewhere. Okay. And it doesn't matter if it's $1 million property or a $200,000 property, but start. Okay. In your scaling process, start. So if you have no properties, you need to get a property. You need to get in the game. Because if you're not in the game, you're not even playing. You're not even you can't learn and understand the whole scaling process unless you get into the game and know if this is something you even want to deal with. Okay. All right. So now let's say you have a few properties or one property even. And when I say a few properties, that's like one to like three. Okay. I feel like those are kind of like the first range. Now, one to two, it's just a little bit easier than zero to one, and then two to three it gets easier and easier as you go. But one to three is a kind of a point I see people at. So what you need to do at this point, one to three, is if you're thinking about scaling, you need to define what scaling means to you. Okay. When I hit this point of, I hit about three properties, I had this realization that I sat down and I said, okay, what's my plan here? Am I just going to keep buying the same thing over and over and over? Because that's essentially what I was doing. I was buying the same market. I was buying the exact same properties because I knew what worked. It was like, well, it worked on this one. I'm just going to go do it again, and maybe it's a little more expensive. It's a little bigger, but that's about as much risk as I'm going to take. And I just go do it again and again and again and again. Economies to scale, right? We've heard that term. So, but then we have to sit down and go, okay, well, now I'm probably going to be more in the quantity game and less so in the quality game. And also, there's another hidden risk that arises, okay? There's a risk of regulatory changes, which could impact my entire portfolio if it's in the same market. And then the second one, though, is the risk of, unforeseen events like natural disasters that completely wipe out all of my short-term rentals in a single market, or, black swan events like COVID, or things that you just can't foresee happening that could happen. And so the diversity question starts to, come into mind. Like, should I diversify my portfolio or economies to scale? And that's usually that's how you're going to define part of your scaling process. So understanding and knowing what scaling means to you. Now, if you decide to go quality or quantity, that's up to you. That's your decision. Okay, do you want to have 10 properties, 20 properties, 30 properties generating X amount in cash flow per month or year? Or are you okay with just five that are generating the same amount? Okay, but they're going to have to be bigger and maybe in different markets. So these are the type of questions. This is when you need to really start to define what scaling means to you. Not when you're going for your first property, but after you already have a property, because you know you have experience, you know if you want to be in this game, and you know what the time it takes to run a single property and the things you have to deal with. And so you really get that appreciation for what the time is worth, but the understanding too of what it's going to take in terms of like where and how and economies to scale versus diversification of markets. And that's what you have to define for yourself. And that's a really good time to do it. It's between one to three properties. So once you do that, You're also going to be running into the next big thing, which is capital constraints. Okay. One of the biggest lessons I have personally learned is you cannot scale on your own. You can't. Okay. Unless you just have a ton of money. But even then, you're going to run out of money at some point in time. And you're still not going to be cash flowing where you want to be yet. Okay. Whether you are trying to leave the W-2 or just have more time freedom or just hit a certain cash flow goal, you're not going to have enough just from your own money. And so then that leads you to two options at this point in time. Option number one. Now, this is for the 1 to 3 property folks. Unless you have more money than that, then you have, you know, then you could have bought maybe 5 or 6 or whatever, but you're going to run out of capital. There's going to be capital constraints. And then your back's on the wall and you have two paths to choose. Number one, you just save money and it takes longer. If you just save money, it's going to take you years and years and years to scale. Option number two, and this is the option that we all probably need to do if we're trying to scale. Option number two is you have to partner with people, okay? People who have money, who don't know how to find things or operate things. Believe it or not, there are a ton of people out there like that. There are a ton of people who they are interested in knowing how to do short-term rentals or be a part of this industry, but they don't know where to find the deals. They don't know how to operate the properties too. And the finding part, they probably don't understand how hard it is. It's more of the operational side that scares them. You know, guests and random people showing up to your property, you know, like that are essentially your guests. Like, you don't know how they're going to take care of your place. And there's all these, like, you know, misconceptions around Airbnb and VRBO and short-term rentals in general about this stuff. And so that scares a lot of people, but they also know that there's really good returns in potential. And so there's a lot of people, especially those of you who are listening, who are like doctors, high W-2 income earners, you know, like tech people and attorneys and so on. You have a network around you of people who, let's be honest, they're highly educated individuals. They're making a lot of money, but they know nothing about finances. They know nothing about investing, especially investing in short-term rentals. Maybe they've been told their entire life, just throw it in long-term rentals, buy apartment complexes, buy, you know, multifamily homes and, you know, mailbox money, let someone else run it for them. But the short-term rental game, especially with the tax loopholes, becomes very attractive to them, but they don't know what to do and they're scared of that. And if they're in the same network as you, they typically trust you because they're in the same industry as you in terms of like your work and things. And you can go to them and say, hey, look, let's do some sort of deal where I can source, find, and operate because I know what I'm doing. And you can, you provide the money, you provide the capital. Maybe you guys, you know, you can, there's a lot of ways to skin the cat on this. I'm not going to go through all the possible, you know, scenarios of how you can partner with someone, but maybe you can bring a little bit of money to the table and then they can bring majority of it, or they're bringing all the money and you're bringing part of it and you're getting a cut of the equity of the property and also mainly the cash flow and the management side. Okay. But that's how you're going to get the capital that you need to scale. Okay. One of the biggest things that I learned when I was scaling, as I'm scaling, I'm still scaling, right? Is I hit the capital constraint at 3 properties. I was like, well, crap, I don't have any money. I want to diversify. What do I do? So I started co-hosting. Okay. That's one strategy. I didn't go for partners. I went to property owners. I said, hey, I'm going to manage your property. I'll be making more money. Here's the data. I literally gave them a folder. I showed them my properties. I showed them how much they make. I showed them their properties, how much they could be making. And how much, if they were doing it on their own, they would be making in the difference. And it obviously justified the commission amount. And they were like, this is a no-brainer. That's what you have to do with people, whether you want to co-host, property manage, or you are just going to partner with someone too. Those are your options. That's the path, but essentially it's partnering, right? And so you have to do that if you want to scale quicker, okay, or quickly. You have to partner with people because you're going to run into capital constraints. And then you're going to use that capital to buy your own properties. And that's exactly what I did. So as I started to scale and I picked up these clients, I then saved that money and used it to buy bigger properties. And I decided to diversify markets, which was a great thing I decided to do because my market got shut down with regulations at the time. And I put these properties in, you know, I bought properties around. And so the long story short, I used that capital from the co-hosting side to do that. I don't co-host anymore. I cut that all off because it's no longer worth it to me as I have bigger properties now and they're cash flowing a lot more. My time is more valuable. And so 1 to 3, you've got this capital constraint and you have to partner with people unless you just want to save it. It's just going to take you many, many years to get to the next one, right? Like 3 to 4 years to buy your next one or, you know, whatever. And so partnering and co-hosting property management is the way to get that capital without having to have your own money into the, you know, all of your money into another deal to get to the next level. So now once you're doing that, then you can take that money and purchase other properties and get to that 4, 5, 6 level of properties and really start to take it to the next level. And at that point, that's when you have a decision to make too, because now from the cash flow of properties that are generating, you should be able to acquire a new property at least once a year. Okay. And that's when it gets a lot easier to scale in terms of like acquiring properties on a regular basis, because now if you have at least 5 to 6, you should be acquiring enough cash flow that they could purchase their own property each year. Okay. And then from there, you have a decision to make on how many properties you want to get each year and how you want to do this and where they want to, you know, and there's many decisions and many forks on the road, but you can't, my case in point here is you have to partner, you have to work with people, you know, and, or be a co-host or property manager or whatever. But I call it partnering essentially, right? Because that's the only way you're going to get over the capital constraint to be able to achieve what you want to do quickly. Last point I want to talk about on this, patience. Okay. I was talking to a good friend of mine about this. You know, a lot of people think like this is get rich quick. I can buy a property. I can buy another property next year. You can't if you're not partnering with people, and you're probably not. Most of you are not. Okay. Maybe you're co-hosting, which is partnering. Okay, cool. But most of you in reality are not partnering with people like I'm talking about so that you can scale. So most people in that like 1 to 3 property range are like, how do I get to the next one? How do I get to this like 5 property, 6 property, whatever that are all generating, you know, 300,000, 400,000, 500,000 in cash flow per year, you know, profit. And how do I get to that point quickly? How do I do it by next year? And the reality is, I mean, unless you just go take on a bunch of co-hosting clients and, you know, you're able to amass large amounts of money to you from other partners in your industry, you're probably not going to do that. But you'll be shocked on what you can accomplish in 3 to 5 years over what you accomplish in 1 year. A lot of times people are very short-sighted, meaning like we tend to look at what did I do this last year? How far did I make it? Oh, I didn't accomplish enough. I didn't get enough done. But we don't ever look back, where was I 3 years ago? Where was I 5 years ago? And it's always shocking to me when I think, when I look back and I actually think about it, I'm like, wow, you know what? Like I actually accomplished a lot over the last 3 years or even 5 years or 10 years even, you know? And I think we have to think about, you know, scaling is a patience game as well. Okay. Obviously it's about being tactful. It's about making moves, partnering with people, you know, being smart, but also it's patience as well. Having patience saying like, look, I'm not going to be a millionaire next year and that's okay. Or maybe you're already pretty close to it from, you know, your work or whatever, but I'm not going to be like, you know, a multimillionaire, we'll say, next year, but with some patience and time. And if I do this right, I can probably hit it in 3 to 5 years, which is a lot more attainable than just think, oh, next year I'm going to do it. And so it takes time, but those with patience and those with the ability to look back and say, where have I come? They're the ones that typically hit their goals. They're the ones that actually scale and do it the right way because they're the ones that understand that this isn't an overnight success. This isn't a get-rich-quick scheme or, you know, an overnight hit like some of the people, you know, on social media are chalking it up to be, or YouTube or whatever. This is something that takes work and time, but it doesn't take more than 3 to 5 years to hit, you know, certain goals and achievements. And so I want you guys, more importantly, to understand that scaling comes with patience, but also just having a recognition for what you've been able to accomplish so far. On the next episode, the part 2 episode, I'm bringing in a special friend of mine who went literally from nothing to like 30 properties in like 4 years. Which is crazy, but he did it through partner. And so I want you to hear his story and I want you to hear how he found partners, his partner. But there's a lot of different ways. I kind of talked about some of the ways in this episode already on how you could find a partner. But I want you guys to listen to that episode, that part 2 episode, because it's really like, listen to how he did it. I mean, he's going from single family homes to now owning boutique hotels and multifamily. Like, he's got these complexes of multiple unit properties where there, you know, there's like 10, you know, units or whatever, not like an apartment complex, but like, you know, like tiny home communities and things like that. So he's really gone from like single family all the way up to this, like, you know, 14, 15 unit, you know, hotel or whatever. And it's a very interesting story. So show up, pay attention, listen to that. If you enjoyed this episode, please do me a favor. Please leave me a review if you haven't done so already. If you're on iTunes or Spotify, please leave me a review. I love 5-star reviews. I love reading them. Thank you so much for those who have already left me a review. And then finally, be sure to check out the YouTube channel at Cashflow Positive to see me live in person talking as I do the episodes, if that's something of interest to you. But thank you so much for listening, and I will see you on the next episode of Cashflow Positive.